I tell you what, that's great singing tonight. Jeremy Brittany, that's wonderful. I tell you, Jeremy Atkins, he's a great blessing to our church. And thank God. Stan, that's good preaching, son. I love these young preachers. If you got your Bibles, let's do a little Bible study tonight. I want to help you. I've got a thought. I've been reading again through the Gospel of John. I love the Gospel of John. And I want to give you a thought tonight that's been on my heart. It's really burdened my heart. And I want you to see it with me tonight. John chapter 13, if you got your Bibles. I'm sorry, Josh, I didn't even see you. God bless you, Josh. John 13 and 33 through 35. Wave your Bibles at me again. I want to see if you got one. Amen. That's good. Little children, yet a little while, I'm with you. Christ is getting ready to leave, getting ready to go to the cross. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now, I say to you. Now notice verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. The earthly ministry of Christ lasted for 3.5 years. I want to make it plain. He came for one reason, and that was to die for our sin. He came to shed his blood for us. He did not come down here to see how we were doing, because he was sitting up there on the throne knowing how we were doing. He came down here to die for our sins. He didn't come in pomp or circumstance. He surrounded himself with 12 men that assembled around him. They saw him do great things. And I love the Gospel of John, because 90% of what's in John's not mentioned anywhere else in the Bible. And the Gospel of John centers around Christ. How many of y'all believe that we'd be a whole lot better off if we would be centered around Christ? There's too much man worship tonight. There's too much people worship tonight. There's too much idol worship tonight. We need to worship the one and true Christ. Amen. Jesus said in verse 1 of chapter 13, my hour's come. I'm going to die. Before he died and before he came to die, he done miracles. How many believe he can still do miracles? Hey, the day you got saved was the greatest miracle you ever experienced. Somebody help me preach. And then notice in the passage, Brother Whittington, he gets him a towel out in chapter 13. And he starts washing the feet of his disciples. I wonder how many of us would do that. Somebody help me preach. And he begins washing their feet, and he starts talking to them. I want you to notice the scene. He starts talking to them. And he said, there's somebody sitting here who's going to deny me, the guy that I'm giving the sop to. Now, for some of y'all people that don't know what the sop is, you ever got your big biscuit and just put it down in a bowl of gravy and sopped it? If you ever done that, you'll know what sop is. Yes, sir. And the scene was that Judas knew he was talking about him. And Judas left the crowd. And by the way, Judas is a picture of the devil. Once the devil gets out from us, God can start talking to us. And what was happening here, he started detailing what was going to happen at the cross of Calvary, what he was going to do, how he was going to die, how he was going to suffer. He starts showing them that he was a servant and that he cared for them. He said, I'm leaving. And since you're staying, and here's where I'm going tonight. I'm leaving. I'm going. But since you're staying, here's what I want you to do. Now, he didn't tell them a big parable. He didn't give them something big and deep. I think today that we have got off. You know why there's so many false preachers out there? Because they think they got to get something new all the time. Somebody help me preach right there. Oh, if I don't have something new, that's why a bunch of them's in hyper-Calvinism, contemporary movement, all this junk. You don't really need something new. You need to get back to the old stuff. Somebody help me preach. He could have told them some big stuff. He could have done that, but no, he makes this statement. Love one another. Let me ask you something as a church. Do you agree with me that might be the missing element of our world today? And I want to say this to you. Not only is it a missing element of the world today, but this is sad. It's a missing element in our churches today. Come on, somebody help me preach. And I'm not talking, Jeremy, about a fuzzy feeling. I'm not talking about some made up junk. I'm talking about a giving of oneself. I'm talking about a willing sacrifice. I'm talking about you willingly caring for somebody and loving them. Let's just tell it like it is. There's so much bitterness going on. Have you ever heard so much spewing of bitterness in your life? There's so much backbiting going on. I read a Facebook thing today from a preacher, and it was great. And he said, I don't know how. You may have read it. How folks can say they're saved and a disciple of the Lord and backbite and hurt and try to damage people. Somebody help me preach. Somebody make me understand how you could go backbiting and bad mouthing and be bitter and angry and tell me you're one of God's disciples. Lord, somebody help me here. See, all this bad behavior. If I want you to know what, I'm seeing two extremes today. Y'all seeing what I'm seeing? I'm seeing a bunch of bad behavior, but I want you to know also I'm seeing some people that really love God coming up to the top. Hey, man. Here's what I want to preach on tonight, and I'm done. I'll give you three thoughts. Whew. What's missing in Christianity today? We're the only group I know that kill our own wounded. We're the only group I know that won't give anybody a second chance. Somebody help me preach. We're the only group I know that will X people off if they look at you sideways. Dear God, what's wrong with us? Dear God, help us. You can just be cross-eyed to somebody. Or maybe you're having a bad day and they don't like you're having a bad day and they're mad forever. God, help us. I want to give you three things hurriedly that I found in this text. Will you follow me? Notice what Jesus said. A new commandment I give unto you. Whew. I see, first of all, it is a command extension. How many agree with me that he wasn't giving them a suggestion? Not that I suggest you love each other. He wasn't giving them advice. No. He was commanding them to love one another. Whew. Somebody help me preach. I'll tell you what Jesus just did, Brother Whittington. He raised the bar. See, the Bible said in the Old Testament to love your Lord God with all your heart and with all your might and your neighbor as yourself. But Jesus right now is raising the standard. He's saying this to us. But how about you loving one another? How many marriages would be healed tonight if they were loving one another? How many church splits would have been avoided tonight if people were loving one another? Somebody help me preach. I want you to know something. Sometimes it's a struggle to do that. Then now, not only do I see a raised standard, look at the verse. Look at the verse. A new commandment I give unto you. Notice the word I. That's a rightful speaker. It's not the pastor saying, Jeremy, love one another. It's not the deacon board saying, love one another. No, it's the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the King of all ages, the Creator. It's just not the preacher who's telling you to love one another. No. My words are hollow. I may not be effective, but I'm talking about the Jesus that died for you, the Jesus that loved you, the Jesus that cared for you. He's the one that's saying, love one another. Whew. Am I helping you? Praise God. I mean, he's the one that gave him fulfillment. He's the one that blessed your soul. He's the one that saved every one of us from hell. We ought to be burning in hell tonight, but God looked beyond our faults and loved us and cared for us and came down and died for us. And by the way, he's the one saying, whew. And number three under this thought, look at the verse. I see a responsible servant. A new covenant or new commandment. What's it say, Jeremy? I give unto what? You. You. All of you. Whew. Everybody in this church, everybody that's listening to me on the what by the way of live stream, Jesus Christ said, you are my disciple, you are my servant, and you are to love one another. Whew. Glory to God. Help me preach. He's telling us, don't evaluate people on how they look or how they act or how they live. You know what he's saying? He's saying you parents, you need to love one another. He's saying you kids, instead of having your little clique, you need to love one another. Let me say that. He's saying you independent fundamental Baptists, you need to love one another. If there's ever a crowd that needs revival tonight, independent, I am one, but I want you to know they need revival. I see so many Pharisaical guys that's looking down their nose at everybody thinking that they have arrived. Ladies and gentlemen, ain't nobody in this room allowed. This pastor hadn't arrived. You hadn't arrived. You ought to be glad God loves you tonight. Secondly, just look in the Bible with me. A new commandment. Man, I like this, Jeremy. Whew. A new commandment I give unto you. I'm talking about a command extension. Now, listen to this. That you love one another. Now, notice this statement. Notice this is good. As I have loved you. Whew. How many believe that's big? Amen. Yes, sir. That's big. I see, secondly, a copied example. Now, I want y'all to know this, and I'm going to be very honest. I'm not the best example. I try to love what people. I do. But I'll be honest with you. I am not the best example. The best example is the Lord Jesus. Ain't nobody ever loved you like Jesus. He loved you in a supreme manner. Let me just talk about that a moment. I'm talking about unsolicited selection. Who would have chose you and me, Ken? Who would have chose a bartender's boy like me to love somebody that was an outcast? But God loved me, and God cared for me, and I didn't solicit it. I didn't ask him to. He just done it. Somebody ought to raise a hand and say, hallelujah, God loves me. Listen to this, an unconditional sentiment. You know what? He didn't even have any rules I had to keep. I didn't have to go keep the law. I didn't have to go under some ceremony for him to like me. He loves me, and there was no condition around his love. I'll just say something. I might as well just say it. You know what I'm saying today? Oh, people, love you. There's always got to be a condition. I'll love you if you do this. Listen to me. I was going the opposite way of God, and he loved me anyhow. Amen. No, I got some good stuff here. Let me hurry with this. Dear God, I see an unselfish showing. You know what he done? He bowed down. Lois, he bowed down, took a towel. And every one of those 12 disciples come to him, and he washed their dirty feet. That's unselfish. You know what I see in so much Christianity today? Selfishness. It'll be a great day in your life when you are unselfish and love like Jesus loved. Whew. Good Lord. Oh, listen, I'm not done. I see a universal spirit. Now, listen, I've got some thoughts here. It really doesn't matter who they were. Jesus loved them. Well, let me talk about your love life and mine for a minute. First of all, he loved Judas Iscariot, and he betrayed him. I want you to know, there is nothing harder to get over than the hurt you get by somebody that betrays you. We've all had it. We've all been betrayed. We've all had it. And you say, preacher, I just can't hardly take it. I can't love somebody. Jesus did. You want to copy somebody, Mike? Don't come copy me. Copy him. Because he loved somebody that betrayed him. Oh, that's not all. Now, hold a minute. He also loved somebody that denied him. Come on, help me. I mean, Peter denied him 3 times. God had a preordained rooster to crow. Yet he loved him. Let me ask you this. How many times have we denied him? Oh, we haven't said he's not here, but we sure haven't trusted him the way we should. Oh, but that's not all. He also loved a God, man, who doubted him. You know, in pastoring, 42 years, same place, I used to have a man come here. He was a great guy, and I won't say his name. He was here for years. He's in heaven now. And I was a young preacher, and I don't even mind this. I still have it, and I'm an old preacher. I'd make a decision, And he'd always kind of have doubt. Then later on, after everything worked out, he said, well, you was right again. You made the right decision. I tell you what, I think I'm about half crazy right now trying to pastor a church in a pandemic. And I feel like there's one extreme on this side that doubts you and one extreme over here that doubts you. And all I'm doing is just trying to serve God and do my best. And love somebody that even doubts you. Come on now. Can you love somebody that questions how you think and what you're doing? And by the way, I tell you, well, who else he loved in that crowd? When he died, there's only one person stayed at the cross with him. And everybody else left him. Hey, how many of y'all can love somebody that departs from you and scatters? Hey, you know what I like about church? People that are the real deal, that stick with it, come hell or high water. I've watched it over the years. Just get somebody a little ruffled. They're ready to quit. They're ready to leave church. But thank God for the people that most of them that are silent says, I'm staying for God. I'm not quitting. You might say, Preacher Smith, do you like everybody, everything everybody does? Absolutely not. And my wife don't like half what I do. But I want you to know something. I am required to love them. Whew. Then I see spiritual motivations. How many of y'all believe you? How many of you in here knows you got faults? Every one of us does. But God loves us despite our faults. I'm so faulty. I wonder why he even wants to have me on his team. But I'm on his team, and I get to serve him, and I get to love him. I get to do right. I get to preach every week. Thank God. Lastly, I'm going to try to finish. Look at verse 35. The confirming execution. Verse 35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Not by the cross that you're wearing around your neck, not by the songs you sing, not because of your Facebook status, not because how well you dress, not because your tattoos you got that says Jesus on your arm, not because how much money that you give in the offering plate. Come on, help me. A distinct action by this, by loving me and you loving others. And I loving others. That's how you know somebody is a disciple. People that are malicious and want to hurt people all the time are not Christ's disciple. I'm not saying they're lost, but I am telling you they're not a disciple of my Jesus. By this, a distinct action, then a discerning audience. Look here. By this, all men know that you're my disciple. Hey, Jeremy, do you know people are watching you? You sang tonight. And we'll have thousands of people watch this program. And they're watching you. How many of y'all know folks are watching you? They're watching how you act. They're watching how you talk. They're watching how you are. And the only way they can know you're the real deal is that you love them. That little bus kid. Boy, I can't wait till we get highways and hedges back and our buses back on the road. See, little bus kids, they're not like a lot of hypocritical Baptists. They're real honest. I remember that we was having all that turkey or some kind of thing at Thanksgiving. And they introduced me to them. And this one little black boy came up to me and And he just had tears run down his face. He said, thank you for feeding us. Thank you for caring. And he looked up at me. He said, I love you. I ain't never seen the boy in my life. But you know what it is? Generally from his, you know what he saw? He saw somebody loved him. Somebody cared. Somebody helped me preach. The world can't see anything unless they see your love. Then I see a discipleship association. Somebody help me. By this you know that you're my disciple. Praise God. Hallelujah. Not just a church member. Not just being a rev. I know a lot of revs, preachers, that hate people. They treat people bad. I made my mistakes. Every once in a while I'll get aggravated, but I want to tell you, I usually apologize if I get aggravated. How about you? Then I see a dependent actuality. Notice this last thing, I'm done. Y'all getting anything out of this? Lord have mercy, you ought to be getting some. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Listen to this. If you have love for one another. Why is there so many churches that all they're out for is nickels and noses when we need to love one another? You know, the old Bible, the Old Testament, here's what it said, Chad. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And you know what? I see a lot of Christians, they act so vengeful. They act like they're supposed to be vengeful and retaliatory. But listen to this. You know what Jesus said? Listen to this, Jeremy. Love your enemies. And bless them that curse you. Yeah. And if you go one mile, go another. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Now I'm done. To people you don't like and you're aggravated with, do you pray for them? Do you bless them? Do you do good to them? I saw somebody that claims to be my enemy about 4 months ago. And this guy kind of has done me wrong. But I tell you what I've done, Dwayne. I saw him and I didn't go avoid him. I just walked right up to him in Walmart. And I said, brother, how you doing? I want you to know I pray for you. Man, he turned white. He couldn't believe it. I said, I mean it. I pray for you. And he just looked at me. And I tell you what happened. He had a big old tear swell up in his eye. He said, I'm sorry for some of the junk I've done to you. And I said, man, I forgive you a long time ago. See, forgiveness and love is not for the other person. It's for you. If you don't forgive and love, you're going to be bitter. Man, I tell you, I can't hardly get off this tonight. With your heads bowed. How many of you tonight would say, preacher, I needed that tonight. Because I've lost my patience. And I've been a little bit frustrated. And I've really not been handling a lot of things real good. But I know I need to love one another. And I just want you to pray for me tonight. I want to be a better Christian. I want to love. Raise your hand all over the place. God bless you. Stand with me. If you need to pray tonight, maybe you just need to copy Jesus. Stand with me. Father, thank you for this good group tonight. Thank you for them wanting to be out to church. Lord, touch this invitation as we get ready to close. In Jesus' name, amen. You come if you want to pray.